Abbas morning, we're going back to Rabbeinu Bachai.
Okay.
At 7:15, yeah?
Right. Okay.
Very good. Okay. Good. Okay, should we start on Pesach? But to be honest, I thought I must say something about the parshas, because there's such enormous repetition of the Binyan HaMishkan, which goes over from five parshas, from Tumah to Tzaveh, Bayakel, Kitisva, Bayakel, Pikude, and they all deal with the same topic, and there's tremendous repetition here. I want to pick up the kasha, the question of Rabbeinu Bachai. He asks as follows. Why is it that the Binyan HaMishkan is repeated five times? If you look carefully from Terumah until Pikudei, you see that first of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu in a general term at the beginning of Terumah. Then in Kisisa, he went through all the Kedem again in detail, in much more in detail, not so much in Klalim. Moshe Rabbeinu then told Klal Yisrael again in Ofen Klali, which is in Tzaveh, then it's repeated again in detail when Moshe Rabbeinu told them exactly what to make. That's number four. And the fifth time comes out in Parshas Vayakel Pikudu, and everything has gone over again when they completed all the work. Once again, we see the enormous repetition. Five times it's repeated. And you see very often in the Torah HaKadosha that many halachas are given in a very brief reference, very brief indeed, it's very concise. For example, even Shabbos, we're not given the halachas of Shabbos, we're just saying the Isra of Shabbos. We're not told dinim really of Pesach, we're not told dinim of Kashrus really. We're not told many, many things, dinim of Nezikim. It's all in Torah Shabbat Peh, not in Torah Shabbat Peh. So if you find in the Hamushay Chumshay Torah, you see such enormous repetition, there must be a reason behind it, and we have to go into it a little bit more depth. Rabbeinu Bachai only gives us one answer, and that is, he says, it's a sign of great chavivus, great affection. Repetition in the Torah always means great affection. And therefore, what we must explore is, where does this chavivus come out? Let's give other examples, for example. Rabbeinu Bachai mentions that in Parshas Bahaloisacha, we find that when the Levim were chosen to be the Meshalsim of Klal Yisrael, to serve Klal Yisrael, the word Yisrael is said five times. If you look at the beginning of Parshas Bahaloisma, the word to Meshalis Yisrael, Avodis Yisrael, Lechaper Ad Yisrael, in one pasuk, the word Yisrael is repeated five times. Five times is tremendous affection, tremendous affection. You say every single morning, I remember Rav Volba, Zechatadik Devokha, he told us, I remember in the Shir in the Nir, he once said, who are you before you begin Shemana Esrei? Before you begin Shemana Esrei, so Yisrael, Kuma Be'ezras Yisrael, Yisudeish Yinomecha Yehuda Yisrael, number four, Gaal Ein Hashem Tzavok Shema Kodesh Yisrael, Bochak Hashem, Gaal Yisrael. Five times again. Yisrael is repeated five times. So this is a tremendous hadith, tremendous affection when we repeat something five times. What Rabbeinu Bachai does not do, he doesn't tell us, where did the Chavivus come from? He doesn't tell us. He just said there was great Chavivus. And maybe you can apply a beautiful rule, which I remember reading in Kosei Or. The great Talmud of Rabbi Sol Talant wrote a sefer called Kosei Or. And in it he describes that if you're careful and if you're wise, you'll be able to find something called a Siba and a Mesubo. A cause and an effect. Meaning, if you can find the cause and effect, you can begin to understand Darkei Shamayim. We are told here, the effect here. The effect is, there was great chavivus. We're not told the cause of the effect. We're only told that there was chavivus. What Rabbeinu Bachai doesn't tell us is what was the siba. If there's a siba, if there's a mesuba, there must be a siba. We're not told that. Perhaps we can stand back ourselves, and maybe make a little bit of an understanding on our own comprehension in the following way. Think a minute in your life of somebody who said something to you or did something to you and you thought it was tremendously chavir. It was very affectionate, very devoted if someone did that to you. If you can find that, you'll see that you have for that person tremendous chavivut, great sincerity and great devotion and genuine a personal comment which is made arouses tremendous chavivut in a person. I know myself, I remember the night I became a chosman. And I became engaged in Eretz Yisrael. And at the Lachaim, my aunt was there. My aunt who lived in Edgware in London. So she was there, and she turned around to me and said to me at the L'chaim, this beautiful comment, I'll never forget it. She turned around and said to me like this, Yonatan, I want to give you a bracha. And my bracha is that you'll never feel that you find everything out about your wife. You'll always discover something new. Most beautiful bracha. I thought it was such chaviv. I had tremendous affection for her afterwards to say such a beautiful thing. You should always look for something new. When somebody says something which is very genuine and very sincere, you feel very close to the person. You feel very chaviv. I remember once I turned around to my father on the phone and asked him for some money for soccer. Certain cause, and he put his hand in his pocket and took out every single note that he had in his pocket. He said, take this, it is such a worthy cause. I felt such chavivut. He was so genuine, he was so sincere, he was so devoted towards the cause. And that, I think, maybe, if we can come back to the Mishkan, is that's the cause of the great chavivut. Where did the affection come from that was so much repetition in these five parashas? Maybe we can suggest it came from the devotion, the lay, the Avodah Shebalei. We know the famous rule, Rachmona Libavoy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu requires most of all our heart, the sincerity of a person. Echad Amava v'Echad Amamit, uvevad she'ichaven Liboy Bashomayim. The Kavona is the most important thing, the lay, Avodah Shebalei. Can I just stop? Somebody hasn't muted. Yehoshua, can I ask you, someone hasn't muted. I'm getting an interference here. No?
Yeah, Philip, I need to mute.
Someone hasn't muted. Okay, that's good. Okay. So if we look at the parsha of the Mishkan, we see those tremendous lays. The building specifications, which we know about in the Torah, that's one side of it. Those are the materials. But behind them was a tremendous amount of devotion and sincerity which comes out. And therefore, perhaps we can extrapolate ourselves and suggest as follows. The cause was the lay. The outcome was the chavivut. Since there's a tremendous amount of devotion and sincerity, we know, for example, when the materials were all gathered together, everything came in one day, immediately, and there was an oversupply of all the materials that they needed. But you see the tremendous affection, and therefore, when it comes to understanding the chavivut of the Mishkan, the cause behind it is, we can suggest, Ani's deity, is the insertion of the lay. But when you look carefully in these five parshas, you'll see there were three elements of Avodah Shebalei which went into the building of the Mishkan. The first one was called Nedivas lay. Kol ish asher yidvenu liboy, who's a willing heart, a generous heart, who wants to give towards the Mishkan. And that was the first criteria. The first criteria is the Nedivas lay, the wanting to give. Not just Nedivas, Nedivas Leiv. Nedivas Leiv means tremendously generous, much more than just wanting to give, but feeling to be part of the Mishkan and wanting to be part of it in a tremendous way. But the problem is, you know yourself, that when you build a home for somebody, for anybody, you almost must say, who's going to live there? Who's going to be the resident? Whose domicile are you making there? I remember once I saw a picture of an aeroplane owned by an Arab sheikh. And I remember inside the plane, everything was made of gold. Gold knobs, gold taps, everything was gold. What would make the sheikh comfortable in his home? One thing, gold. Gold by Arabs is gold. And everything was gold. To make him happy in the home, it would have to be gold. Everything was made of gold. When you turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lahabdil Elef Abdullah, and you look at, understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is his nature? What is really going to make him feel at home? What is going to make him feel? What is the main characteristic? True, there was a lot of gold and silver inside there. But what was the main attribute that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would need in order to feel at home in his home? We know, we say every day in benching, when we bench, who hateth, who mateth, who yateth lonim. Ribbono shel Olam is tremendously giving. Olam chesed yibonim. And therefore, the koyach hatova of HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to be there. If it's not going to be there, then he's not going to feel at home. It's not the gold by him. The gold is part of the material, but if the gold isn't given in a certain way, and that's the hatova which was needed by Kalifa, the Nedivas slave, and that was a very important quality here. If they didn't have this Nedivas slave, then there wouldn't have been a Mishkan, because they had to come forward by themselves to build the Mishkan, and they had to want to give it. There was no compulsion. There was compulsion will come on later, the Chatzi Shekel for the Adonim, and the Chatzi Shekel which they had to give for the Korbanos, we saw in Parashat Kitzitzo. But the actual Binyan HaMishkan had to be from their own free will. The Alter from Kelm asks a wonderful question from the Binyan HaMishkan. He asks a wonderful thing. If you had to come with an Adiva slave, tell me, was it so hard for Klal Yisrael to come with an Adiva slave? The Apostles of Kolish Asher Yidvenu Liboy. All of them were fabulously wealthy coming out of Mitzrayim. The Gemara explains that there wasn't one person who came out of Mitzrayim who didn't have 90 animals, 90 chamoyim laden with all gold and silver and trinkets which they came out of Mitzrayim. Everyone was fabulously wealthy. And that's besides the Biza Tayyom, which they took from the Yom. So you're trying to tell me someone couldn't give something over to the Diva slave for the Binyan HaMishkan, which was such a tremendous offering and such tremendous sacrifice for Klal Yisrael? That's the question of the answer from Kelm. And the answer's in a real Kelmer way, which is a beautiful answer. He said, yes, but in order for a person to do something with a genuine heart, that is very, very rare. Why? Because the nature of a human being is always to think to himself, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? And that's the point. You can give something, but if you're thinking in the back of your mind, what will be my benefit from it? It's not good enough. The Midah HaKadosh Baruch Hu is who hated, who made it, who hated Lord. He's completely devoted. And therefore, the Halakha B'Tzrochot, says the Alter, it's very hard for a person to actually come forward and do something completely for his own, for the benefit of the Mishkan, and not for himself. He brings a passage from the Chovos HaBavos, Sha'avodos HaLokim. And there the Chovos HaBavos brings out and says that a person always has an ulterior motive to do something that lishma, that kula lishma, is a very hard thing, that they shouldn't think that behind themselves, that as I'm giving something, there'll be something in it for me, that I'll gain something. And that's not what's required. Kalisha Sheyizvenu Liboy means pure, pure and genuine. And that's the first element which created the Chavivus. And they complied with that, and they were able to come back forward with that. And that's the nature which was, that's how it was built. Remember the beautiful Gemara, the beautiful Gemara which says in Brochus, the Gemara says, Ashrei mi shegodla v'atoira, Ashrei mi v'omal v'atoira, v'oyse nachas ruach liyotzer, who does nachas ruach. To give nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he will feel comfortable in his home, you have to do it in his way, not in your way. And that's what the Alter says. The Alter says, yes, they were fabulously wealthy, but there shouldn't be in the back of their minds any thought of how I'm going to gain from it. And that's the point behind it. And that quality is a very, very deep quality of generosity and benevolence in Klal Yisrael. And that's the first element I'd like to suggest which created this Chavivus of the Binyan HaMishkan. It's interesting, if you go a little bit back in our history, the Gemara in Sukkah describes that our founding father, Avraham Avinu, is given a nickname in the Gemara. The Gemara describes Avraham Avinu as being a Bat Nodiv. It's a beautiful description. A generous daughter. Meaning, Rashi explains, everything Avraham Avinu did was nodvo es liboy lahakir es boyoy. He generously gave of his heart to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything Avraham Avinu did was with tremendous love, with tremendous affection and devotion. Nodvo es liboy, says the Gemara. He gave from his heart to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His searching for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his whole growth was all based on the midah of Nedivas Leiv. He was everything, he gave everything over to himself. Remember how he discovered the Olam of Chesed, the Alter from Slobodka, I mentioned in the previous year once. But why did Avraham Avinu excel in the middle of Chesed? Because he discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the quality of giving. He saw Hashem keeps on giving and giving and never gets back. So I, the product, must do the same. That's why Avraham Avinu's Emunah ran parallel with his Midas HaChesed, his giving, his nature of giving. And we see that in the Hachmosus Olachim, only for the benefit of the guests. That's all he was interested in, for their benefit. Running off to save life. Everything by Avraham Avinu was an Adiva slave. And it's in our genes. It's in our genes to be able to give like that. The pure, genuine offering which was brought forward. It's interesting, just as a point of information, probably the holiest moments that we have every single year are the minutes before Tkiyas Shofar. What happens in Shofar? The Gemara explains in Moshe Shana, the Gemara says, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur goes Lifnai V'Lifnim. He goes all the way in. Says the Gemara, and on Rosh Hashanah, we all go Lifnai V'Lifnim. How? To the Koyach of the Shofar. The Shofar takes us all the way in. Lifnim Gomri. It takes us all the way in. So you'll ask me, what should I possibly say before the shofar blows? What's the last word before shofar blows? The last thing you say is the end of chapter 47 in Tehillim. Nedive amim nesotu am elokei avon. A very generous people are gathered here today with the people of Avon. We are by nature nedive slaves. That's from Avon Avinu. And that's our greatest defense counsel before the shofar. Who are you? I'm a member of Avon Avinu's family who was completely overwhelmed with generosity, with kindness. And that's the quality which came forth. And that's what meant, I think, Daniel Saiti is the first theme behind the Chabit. This is the cause. The first cause was the Ziva said how it was all done. Let me share with you two psukim from Shir HaShirim, which describe it in the most beautiful poetic way, most beautiful theme. In Shir HaShirim, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Tes, Shlomo HaMelech describes exactly what the Beit HaMikdash, what the Mishkan was like in the Beit HaMikdash, the Beit HaMikdash in particular. Listen to these words, and if you can imagine the scene. Apirion Osman Loi HaMelech Shlomo. The King Solomon built for himself a canopy. It means the Beit HaMikdash. Me'akte El Avonoin, from the beautiful cedar woods from Lebanon. Beautiful cedar woods from Lebanon. Amudov Osso Kesef. All the pillars were made of pure silver. Imagine, silver pillars and cedar wood. The Pidoso Zohan, the seat, which means the Kodesh Kadoshim and the Oroin and the Kapoyos, was all made of gold. Now Kobay Al Gomon, and all the hangings were made of purple. Think a minute of the scene. Imagine cedar wood, pillars of silver, a seat of gold, and hangings, the most beautiful, luxurious, elegant structure. And then the topic ends, but that's not the Mishkan. Toichoi Rotsus Aavo, Nibanoit Yerushalayim. And everything had a veneer of love on it. Everything was covered with love. That's beautiful posture. It means that they were slaves. They gave all the materials. It's not like an Arab sheik to have for God. All the donations which they gave, the silver and the gold and the wood, everything was given with tremendous love. And everything had a veneer of Arab. What was Arab? And that is the first criteria of Hashoah Hashlima in Tanisir. The first criteria. We'll come on to two others in a minute. But if we want to bring about the Hashoah Hashlima, it comes about through his nature, his quality. And the attribute of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hasovo. And therefore, we have to find that trait, and it did come out. And that's the first quality which comes out, which we told about in the beginning in Parshas Truma, the Nedivas Lei. Lei. Not just and will come from Avraham Avinu. It's a characteristic which we use and which is a great quality, as we know, of God. The second quality which comes out of Lei, which comes out in Parshas Tesadeh, which is the second theme of Chavivus, is called something called Chochmas Lei. Chochmas Lei is wisdom in the heart. And we have to explain what that means. Rabbeinu Bachai explains that Chochmas Lei means that the Talel, in particular, and Ohaliyot, who worked with him as well, had phenomenal skill and expertise in eight skills. Silver and gold and copper and wood and stone and weaving, all the different skills which they had. And they had tremendous skill. And the Pasuk says, V'chochma u'bitzvuna u'bedah. And the meaning of that is, the Ridbaz explains, I saw in the page of the Ridbaz, they didn't just know how to make it, they knew what to do. In other words, not just what was needed for building. In other words, you're told an hour and you're given a specification of the hour. You're given an order to the node. How do you actually build it? And who builds it? They have the skills, not just of what was needed, but the understanding and also how to build it. You have, for example, a very clever architect. A clever architect knows how to design it. He doesn't know how to make it. He knows how to design it. But the Talel went much, much further than that. The skill of the Talel and Eliyahu was to do it as well. And that's why the Talel and Eliyahu were so unique. They were set aside, from the beginning of creation, that Re'ei Korosi B'Shein, the Talel, the prophet says, I have already ordained, I've already designated from the beginning of creation that the Talel would have the ability to do all these skills. Phenomenal kayak he had. Not just to design them, but to make them as well. I went a little bit into depth with this. I wanted to look a little bit further. And if you think about it, what was actually required here in the Binyan HaMishkan? What was the Chochmas Lei? The Chochmah slave was for nothing else, was to find a way, a means, of creating a residence by Kodesh Baruch in Elam Hazeh. That's a remarkable feat. That's the Shachanti B'Sof Chom, I will live with them. How can you possibly make an area which will be HaKadosh Baruch? There's a beautiful Medrash which says that Moshe Rabbeinu came to HaKadosh Baruch and said to him, how can I possibly make you a home? How can I do it? HaKadosh Baruch said, no, I want 20 beans here, 20 beans there. I want a room here. It's not the way you think. And Moshe Rabbeinu was overwhelmed by it. How can I make a home for you? How does it work? And to create that mokum of the Shechinah is tremendously responsible. And we know that behind the building of an Ishkan also was a facsimile of what went on in Shomayim and also of Odom. The Rambam brings down, the Sadia brings down. It wasn't just the Mishkan here. It was supposed to be similar to what there is, whatever it means in Shomayim, and also the Odom himself, the man himself, is a dugma of the Mishkan himself. I remember learning from Rosh Hashiva Gates, a late guru, once explained to us. I remember he said that the Kroshim on the Mishkan there were 48 Kroshim all together, 20 and 20 and 8. 20 on one side, 20 on another, and 8 on the other side. And then he once explained beautifully in a Shia that the Kroshitavas of 48, the Moyach, the brain, actually looks like the Kuvim. There are two sides with both together, and that's the Moyach. So the real Hashorah Sashim inside is a person. A person is a microcosm of the Mishkan himself. The Moyach looks like the Kuvim, and there were 48 beings, and that's a reference to himself. And then it's a Remesh, he says, a Remesh. But the responsibility must have been enormous for them. And I saw in the Rokeach some numerical parallels, which I don't really understand myself, but just listen to these parallels, and they describe a little bit of the mystical connection behind all the numbers. It's good to hear what went on this Chochmah slave. I can't explain them to you, but he uses the Rokeach, uses the formula of Gematrius. Listen to these Gematrius here. The Rokeach says that it says in the building of the Mishkan, Kasher Tzibah Hashem 18 times. 18 times it says Kasher Tzibah Hashem. He then explains that the vertebrae of a person on his back, there are 18 bones in the vertebrae. In other words, the person himself is 18. There are 18 brachas, which he says in Shemoneh Esrei. The Perek Kof Tes in Tehillim, which is talking about Malchus Shomayim, Kavod Shomayim, Hobol Hashem B'nei Elin, Kol Hashem B'mayim, Kol Hashem B'koya, has 18 names of Hashem inside it. Kriya Shema has 18 Shemas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I counted also, I remember hearing from Rav Gunna in London, that they used to say that he used to sit down for Pesukei Dezimra, but when it came to Yehi Chavoy, he always stood up for Yehi Chavoy. And they said, why? He said, because there are 18 times it says the name of Hashem in Yehi Chavoy. Actually, it says 19 times. The last pasuk, Hashem Oishi Amelech Yanim V'Yom Karenu in Yehi Chavoy, is a tefillah at the end. But the main body of the prayer, Yehi Chavoy, has 18 times Shem Hashem. And meaning, what's behind it? The Rokeach goes into great detail. I don't have the ability to do it. But you see, the vertebrae of a person, where he comes and expresses himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kabbalah Malchus Shamayim has 18 times Shem Hashem. Shemoneh Esrei has 18 brachos. 18 is a lashon of chibur. Chibur of Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with his tefillah, with himself, his guf, Malchus Shamayim, and Yichavoyed Hashem. It's an interesting thought. The Rokeach then goes further and explains that the number 22 is also a very significant number. Why? He explains that the Kroshim are mentioned 22 times inside the five parashas. The word Kroshim is mentioned. And he says that 22 is the number of creations which were made, if you look in Parashas Bereishis at the beginning, in Perek Aleph, the number of creatures which were created, there were 22 creatures. There were 22 letters in Aleph. There were 22 items which the Nevi'im carried through the Midbar. There were 22 lines in a mezuzah. And there were 22 times in the week that you say the words Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Three tefillahs a day, 7 times a day, 21, and Musaf is 22. 22 times. So there's a chibur of the Kroshim. I can't explain all these to you, but clearly there's a very, very mystical connection between all these numerical parallels. They all come together is a very significant number, 18 and 22. So you see that the Chochmas Lev was phenomenal of the Talmud, to know what to do and to know how to do it, and how do we, the Torah records it all. There's a tremendous responsibility behind it, and that's what Chochmas Lev. But I want to take it further, and I want to explain that Ani'as Da'at is something which I think is very significant for ourselves as well. What is the meaning of Chochmas Lev? Why does it just say the Torah say Chochmas? What is Chochmas Lev? Chochmas Lev is something more than in the secular world as a pure Chochmas. Why? What is Chochmas Lev? Chochmas Lev implies the Yirat Shamayim. The pasuk in the beginning of Shisitra, describing the work of the Tzaddok, is the following. Ve'ei korosi b'shem b'tzala ben Uri ben Lepur l'mata Yehuda, vo'amalei oisai ruach Elokim, and I have filled him up with ruach Elokim, v'chochma u'bitzuna u'bidas u'b'chol melocha. What's the word v'amalei mean? He received a great chochma. Not like in the secular world. If you're bright, so it's you. No, no. By the Torah, though, the chochma slave implies you know where all the chochma comes from. In the secular world, if you're bright, so you yourself. It doesn't mean anything what type of person you are. Chochma slave implies the humility and the modesty in the chochma, which is really a very crucial aspect you have to do. In the secular world, ingenuity is nothing. The person is very clever, but they think he's a person, a good person, because he's very bright. In the Torah, though, the reference of chochma is atocha name of that. It comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I once saw some Moshe, I don't know. But the person is very, very bright. Naturally, he's very bright. He's very smart. So what's the difference between that and the long neck of a giraffe? Or a trunk of an elephant? What's the difference? So a trunk, an elephant has a trunk, and a giraffe has a long neck. He was given a good head. Nothing to do with, it was a gift. It's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a gift he has. It doesn't say what type of person he is. Chochmas Lev implies the modesty because he knows where the source is, where it comes from. Where's my raya for it? There's one raya. And that is, what is the difference in the bracha if you would see a great inventor, or great scientist, or great person in the Ummah Sa'olam? If you would see, for example, Isaac Newton, I don't know, or if you would see Beethoven or Rembrandt, a great person. The bracha you would say is, Asher notan mechochmosai lebosav adon, who was given as a gift, wisdom, the flesh and blood. Like, a giraffe has a long neck, so he was given it. It's a gift. He was given it. If you would see, for example, the Chofetz Chaim, you see Rebbe Eliashiv, you see Rebbe Akiva Eger, the book is quite different. You say, Asher cholak mechochmosa lireo. Cholak implies a portion from the whole. You receive some of the wisdom, but the reference is a chelek of the whole. Li'ereav to Yerush Shamayim. And that's the whole difference behind it. The modesty and the humility which came with the Chochmah as well. And that Chochmah is one of the Chochmah's slaves implies the humility behind it. And that's why you would say, if you see, for example, of Chaim, Habdi Ben Chaim, of Chaim Kenef, you would say, Asher Cholak Nechochmah. The Chelek, because it's Yerush Shamayim behind it. Li'ereav. And that's the difference behind it. And therefore, everything which the Talon and Ahliyav had, it's all a miloy. They received something as well. And that brought tremendous chavivut. That's the second criteria. The first is Nadiva's name. The second aspect is the, again, lay. Rachman Aliba boy is the Chochmas lay. And the third element, which I wanted to suggest to you, which I think comes out in this week's parasha, is another reference to lay. A different lay altogether. First is Nadiva's. It's all lay. It's all the chavivut. And that's the cause. The cause is comes from the element of the Avodah Shevalei. The third aspect, which comes out in Perut Lamed Hay, in this week's parasha, Lamed Hay Kof Am. Listen to this possible. How did they possibly do all the work? How was all the work done? The Talon Oliyav was very gifted. What about anybody else? Where did all the women get the ability to do the weaving from? How did the men know how to do the building when they were delegated to do the work? The Pasuk says, Vayavoyu kol ish asher nesoi libay. Whoever had an uplifted heart. V'chol asher nozo ruchoi hebiu es trumas Hashem. What does Nesiyas Leiv mean? Nesiyas Leiv means, in English, enterprise. Initiative. And the Ramban explains the most beautiful description. Listen to these words of the Ramban. He tells what is Nesiyas Leiv? Listen to these words. The Ramban says, there was no one in Klal Yisrael who really had any skills of fine art. And none of it. Their fingers were sore, from working with stone and bricks and sand. They had nothing like that in this time. All of them had rough hands. So how did they possibly do any work when they were asked to do any of the weaving or anything for the work? So the Rabban says as follows, Ki lo haya bahem shelomad esa malachos ha'elam nevelamed. No one taught them anything. They didn't have anybody to teach them. Amisha imen bahem yodav. No one had any training in how to do this work. We know that Balel and Aliyah were gifted, but what about everybody else? Listen to these words. You should write these words on your pillow. Listen to them. Avol motza betivo. They found in their natural ability, shiyoda la'asoyt came, that they knew how to do it, but they didn't. They had tremendous enterprise. Vayig ba'libo b'darkei Hashem, they have a lifted heart. Lavoya l'ismei Moshe, they came in front of Moshe and said as follows. Ani eser kol mashe adoni oiver. I'll do whatever Hashem wants. I don't know how to do it. I have no idea. But I'll have a go. That's an uplifted heart. Tremendous initiative. They're looking towards the Funtanem. Tremendous enterprise. To come forward. But they had no training. They would never know how to do it. Who cares? Hashem wants it. I'll do it. Tremendously uplifted heart. It's interesting. If you look there in the Orach Chaim, the Orach Chaim says a beautiful point. Nesias Lei is even greater. It's greater than the Nediva slave. Why? The Nediva slave is you have the money in your pocket. So if you have the money in your pocket, you're prepared to give it. That's called the Nediva slave. That's generosity. The Messiah slave, you have nothing in your pocket. You can't do anything. You can't do it. It's impossible. You don't know how to do it. But the Messiah slave means, I don't care. If Hashem wants it being done, I'll do it. I'll have a go. Tremendously uplifted. That's a tremendous thing to do. I can't do it. But Hashem wants it to be done. I'll have a go. That's the way they did it. The sea of slaves, a beautiful point, beautiful point. And you see it throughout all the history of Kaddishah, the great people. For example, think of Sora Schneer, no? Sora Schneer wasn't necessarily a teacher. I think she worked in weaving or something. And so, but she saw the need for women to have education. Take Recha Sternbuch in Switzerland. Now, she saved, she had no training for it. She saw there was a need and she came forward and saved thousands of Jews during the Holocaust. Tremendous Messiah today, isn't it? Rabban Kutler in America, when he arrived there, he wasn't a great money fundraiser, but he saw the need of making a Mokum Tova there. He'd arrived in America. Tremendous Messiah slave of these people. They pushed it forward. And even though they weren't trained in it, but they tried. Hashem wanted to do, I'll have a go. I'll try it. Tremendous. About Avoda, that is, I think he would have a go. These are the three qualities which I think Daniel Saiti is behind the Rabbeinu Chanan when he said it was, he doesn't say the cause of Chavivus. Perhaps the Chavivus says something with tremendous sincerity and is very genuine. You feel very close to the person. When you see that it's laid, so kosher, great devotion, Bachman Alivavot, and act with their heart, Nediva slave, Chochma slave, and Messiah slave, when someone acts with that, there's tremendous Chaviva for them. And that's what created the Binyan HaMishkan. I was thinking, maybe we can take a little bit further. And that's why I came to the point of Holy Sweet Home. Where do we have today Hashura Tashtina? We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and we don't have a Mishkan. So how do you have today Hashura Tashtina? Really, you only have it today, the real person who's going to tell you that is Hashurah Tashkina. But that's what Ishri Isha, Shina Shemuyah Beneinim. When a marriage, when people get married, the Shina is there amongst the couple. How come you can have the Shina there? The Chazal explained that that's the nature of the first bracha in the Sheva bracha. When you say the bracha, Shahakol Bara Lichvoidai, when you say that first bracha in the Sheva bracha, that is inception of the Shina in this couple. When the first bracha is, it's not when you say Hayat Mekadesh Asi. In Chazal, Shahakol Bara Lichvoidai, that this union of this Chosen and Kala is for Lashem Shamayim, Lichvoidai, Lichvoid Shamayim, then the Shechina comes into the marriage, and it's now not a loving twosome, but a holy threesome. It's a very holy union here. Much more, much, much more. That's the Hashurah Hashechina there. The question is, how can this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu work out? What will create the Chavivut in this Hashurah Hashechina? I think, Pashtus, we have to apply these three rules. And these are really the rules, I suppose, of Shalom Bayis and a successful marriage. You can be married for 50 years, 60 years. But in order to keep the Shechina in the marriage, keep it going, to keep the fires burning, to keep it warm, in order to create and maintain the Shechina there, and to keep the Chabibut, that Hashem still wants to live with you in that home together, to keep the third partner, you need Nedivas Leiv. Nedivas Leiv is Pechai Watsuf Ava. When everything has a veneer of love, wherever you're living in a mansion, you're living in the Yechidah, whatever it is, it's not the items there, but everything has a veneer of love behind it, and Watsuf, and Cheshek towards each other, that creates, as we know, total lots of Ava. If there is Ava there between them, then there is a tremendous Medivus and a Chavivus there. Chochmas Leiv is that no one in a marriage tries to outwit the partner. You're not there for that. I'm not giving lessons from Shalom Bayis here, but it seems to me it can't be a competitive marriage. You can't be clever than a husband or clever than a wife. It doesn't work like that. There must be that whatever I can give, I have as a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I have a gift to do this better than my partner, my spouse, the nature of marriage is Chochmah to say, whatever I have, I'm giving up. It's all a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave. And the last point, the Nesiyah slave, I'd like to add another point, which I think is a beautiful point, which my dear friend, my Chavusa, the Arye Rothenberg, who I think is listening, he told me a beautiful point that Arye told me to listen to a shir of Yitzchak Breitowitz. I heard this from Yitzchak Breitowitz from the Rosh Yeshiva of Kornel. It's a beautiful point. He made the following point, which I mentioned at the beginning. But Breitowitz explained that when it came to the donations to the Binyan HaMishkan, there were three donations. The first half shekel was for the Karbonos. The second half shekel was for the Adonim. But then there was another donation, which we know, which we said at the beginning, which was completely according to what you can give. It's entirely up to you how much you can make it. It's entirely your decision how much you give. The Viva slave, you want to give a lot, you want to give a little. That's towards the Binyan HaMishkan. The Binyan HaMishkan is your decision how much you give. And he wanted to say, so the Binyan HaMishkan between a husband and wife is how they want to do it. It's their own initiative. And that's the Nesiyah slave in the marriage. Some people do it this way, some people, you can do it however which way you want to do it. That's called the Binyan HaMishkan. And it's completely discretionary, how you want to do it, how much you want to do it, how you want the relationship to work. It's completely up to the chosen and kalah. But one thing you have to know, the Adonim, which supported the marriage, is all the same. It's one half, it's a half a shekel for the Adonim. The Adonim were two prongs. There was two Adonim for one being. Two Adonim for one being. That was uniform. The basis of the marriage has to be with the Adonim, meaning the building, the curtains and the silver and the gold, that went into building the Mishkan. That's your own initiative. But the Yesod is one. And he said the Yesod of the one is the Emunah, which is based on the Adonim. And there were two prongs. The Kroshim had two forks in it, and it went into the Adonim. The two Adonim for each being. One being was the Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is one, and the Emunah in yourself, that you can carry on with. It's a beautiful point you said. That has to be uniform. That's in every single home. There must be the basis of the Adonim, and that you have to give a half a shekel. That has to be uniform. That has to be with emunah in God, and emunah in yourself. Those are the two prongs which he said. Tzadik ve'emunah ta'yichya, the one point of emunah. It's a beautiful idea. The actual binyan is Nesiyas Leiv. The Mishkan, how you do it, is yourself. That's your own construction. But the foundation has to be based on emunah. And that's in the Nesiyas Leiv. And therefore, I think that's, in our times, the most optimal and the most uniform manner, I think, of Hashra'at HaShchina in our times. You don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but we have a marriage. And you have Hashra'at HaShchina. How do you bring the Chavivus to the marriage? Medivus Leiv, Chochmas Leiv, and the Nesiyas Leiv. The enterprise which is needed. How the couple do it. But you should remember also, I suppose, right at the very beginning, but what we said right at the beginning of the Parsha Truma, the Shachanti B'Sayi Chom, it's not really the item which Hashem lives. He lives amongst them. The Chaim Volozhin mentions in Nefesh HaChaim that it's in each person the Shechina lives. When you create a mokum for the Shechina, it's true. Hashem lives in the home of the Chosn and Kala, but he lives with the individual, the Shachanti B'Sayi Chom, Loi B'Sayi Chom, amongst yourselves. When a Chosn and Kala, when a husband and wife are married for 50, 60 years, however long you've been married, if they have inside them these qualities of Nedivah slave, Chochma slave, and Nesiyah slave, then they have the Chavivut of the marriage. And that Chavivut being Hashra'at HaShchina Beinenu, literally, Shachanti B'Sayi Chom. we should be build homes, beautiful homes, abayis nemon b'yisrael, the simcha, the kedusha, the shem shamayim, the kavod shamayim. I wish you all a good Shabbos. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Rabbi, thank you. Amazing to hear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Rabbi, thank you for the shout out.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.
Thank you.